certification relating to order provisions, energy conservation, an energy conversion facility siting. Jack, you kind of referenced this, I believe, in our meeting yesterday, wanting to bring this up. This is, from what I recall, you want to make some permanent changes to the siting certificate for wind farms. Is that right? The template that we send out.
And I apologize ahead of time. I was going to come in with the provisions that we had from the hearing and also what our template was, and I just thought it'd be easier to visualize it if I just copy and paste it across real quick so you see generally how it would be put together. So, of course, all the roulette and roulette power would be company in this instance, and this would take the place of provision 22. This was addressed in the roulette power hearing, and this was found to be agreeable, the certification, during the discussion for the commission as well as the other council as well during that hearing. And so I know we have other wind farms coming up, and I just thought it would be easier if we had something standard in place so we didn't have to keep addressing this at the hearing.
What does this change, just if you can summarize? Why are we breaking one sentence into three?
The concerns, the way provision 22 reads is essentially puts additional obligations for essentially everything all the way through the whole life of the facility. For example, of any obligation to upkeep fences that really weren't damaged during construction or anything like that, or roadways that really weren't damaged as well. So if you do read it through, you can see that there are additional obligations that would be required that probably aren't necessary and probably aren't really equitable either to the company.
I'm not following you, Jack.
And for example, if you read through 22 here.
So we took out 22, which required them for the life of the facility to maintain fences, gates, drain tile, roadways. So what are we adding or removing from those requirements in the new 22, 23, and 24?
Essentially what we did was we broke it down so that instead of the fences and just automatically all fences and gates, it says they were removed or damaged during phases of construction and operation. So essentially it's for what the company
did. I
see. And it just clarifies that. So it's not just a cow runs into a fence and they have to maintain
it. It's within the site. Okay, so they thought it was too broad. They just wanted, I see. Okay.
This is Randy. As I read through this, here was my concern. There's a lot of roads that get built to interconnect all the facilities involved in the wind farm. Someday when the wind farm is no more, some of those farmers will be glad to have those roads. So I would simply acknowledge that. But some of them will want them removed, and it appears to me that roads get completely removed in this and absolves the company of the reclamation responsibility for the roads they built.
Repair and place on. So that one is left out from the original list.
Yeah, that's my big concern with it. That's my only concern with it,
yeah.
Actually,
as I understand it. That's a good point. Was that intentional, Jack?
These provisions that I used were the provisions we had used before. What we did initially, I believe, from my understanding, is we took these three provisions and we lumped them together to make that one provision. And so all I did was separate them down for clarification again.
Yeah.
If there is some concern with the roadways, we could...
Except for you didn't include roadways. That was left out of your revised...
Right. That is correct. And I do believe we do have... I think Pat and I were just talking about it. Provision 20, but that doesn't actually include actual reclamation. Is that correct, Matt?
It does not.
Okay.
Well, Brandy makes a good point. I think that the roadways obviously are a huge part of their development, and they should be required to maintain them and reclaim them. So can we just add a sentence back about that or include them in one of the other lists here?
And we're talking about the existing roadways or the ones that were built?
If we're
How about we say the approved site and roadways or something, number 22?
If we're talking about roads, new roadways for the project, they're usually referred to as access roads.
Okay.
Otherwise, if you're talking about roads, you're usually talking about haul routes and things like that when they're actually doing the construction, gravel roads in the area. And so it's always been our intent that they put those gravel roads in the area back in the original condition or better. And the access roads are to be reclaimed afterwards.
And that's number 20, so we already deal with the county roads in number 20, it looks like. But if we just, in number 22, the new 22, if we said Rolette will fulfill its obligation for reclamation and maintenance of the approved site and access roads continuing throughout the life of the energy conversion facility, does that get at the correct responsibility? Randy, do you have any?
I'm going by sound here, and so if I'm driving, I can't be looking at it.
Sure.
But I think it does.
Any concerns with that, Alana, Jack, Jerry?
I have concerns. I just don't want to make that final wording decision orally, verbally at this meeting. I think that's bad homework. So
okay.
Let us.
You guys work on that.
Bring it back to you.
But if we deal with the access roads, just in theory, the access roads are the appropriate roads to be identifying. That's what they're responsible for. And then
that was my concern, yeah.
Okay, and then number 20 in the document, which you can't read, but it does say that all pre-existing township county roads and lanes used during construction must be repaired and restored to the condition equal to or better than prior to construction. So that should address that issue already.
Yep.
Okay. Is this the only change then, Jack? Just this one?
Just have one other question I'd like to ask about making the same changes to the other certifications that we have, except for the access road part, like for transmission lines and conversions. And
yeah, it seems pipelines. Like it doesn't just specifically apply to wind. So I don't know that it that we necessarily need to have that applying just to our wind one. Do we have a separate wind template?
This is the wind template here.
Okay.
But we have a different one for transmission, pipeline, and electric, and a different one for conversions of pipelines.
Mm-hmm. It seems like we should title them that way so we know when we see them, like this is the wind one, certification relating to order provisions.
Well,
wind energy conversion facility siting or something like that.
Yeah, we tried to maintain one for energy conversion facilities, but if you wanted, it looks like we're developing one specifically for wind, so we'll have a separate one for wind now and then one for energy conversion facilities.
I thought you said we already had a separate one for wind.
Well, what we have then is this one for wind, which is kind of a new one. It's kind of been revised and everything.
Okay.
And I haven't created a new one for energy conversion facilities.
My question is there other changes in this one that make it specific to wind, or is it just what you just said, and then now we're going to mimic it, those things in the general wind conversion one, energy conversion one?
I believe there are other items in here that make it specific to wind.
Okay.
Example, like provision 7, it says it specifically cites the Century Code to decommissioning wind.
Okay. So this is the wind one. We're going to mimic these particular changes in the regular energy conversion template as well.
Yes, and also, except for the access road part, also in the transmission facility certification.
Okay, all our siting certificates. Yeah. Okay, works for me.
So just to clarify, is the commission agreeable to my adding those three provisions and then going forward, and then we could address that specific access roads at another later date?
Why don't you just come up with the revised and run it by us? Work with Alana on the exact language and...
Okay.
And then get it to us so we can just give it our thumbs up and you can run with it.
Right,
do you need us to vote on this? We don't need to vote on this document, do we?
I don't think we've been, we didn't in the past, but we just had.
Well, we get a final document that we all look at and go, it looks good. And that's what I think
that's
we
what's
need
been
here.
Happening.
Yeah.
This one will end up being on this order. The roulette.
Oh, no, this one will not. This is for next week's.
Okay.
These are for the next couple that are coming up. I know there's still been talk back and forth, and I'm not counsel in those cases, but between the counsel trying to figure out the certification documents. And right. So this wouldn't have to keep coming up in the hearing.
It will need to go to the commission at a work session or an admin or something because all the other changes have. And now there are some tweakings that are more than typo tweakings. But I think it'll be a simple routine matter. One of your work sessions, whatever's quickest.
I don't recall having approved or voted on the previous certification documents after we did wholesale.
Vote, but you did it at a meeting.
Arguments.
You said okay to.
Okay. Well, can we say okay to this? You guys figure out the access roads, and then we go. Or do we have to get together? Because there's a wind hearing next week. The attorneys are eager to get this done and get it out and get it signed and into the company prior to that hearing. So, in my opinion, I don't need to see the tweaks.
Okay. You can, if there's any problems, you're going to be sitting together at an open hearing, and you can mention them. My point is, it just doesn't happen outside some sort of noticed gathering, and it will be happening at your hearing.
Okay. So
if it needs to.
Yeah. Do you have clear guidance?
I think this is just be clear enough to staff. I'm fine with approving what we've discussed here, and if it's written up in a way that I don't think does the job or that one of the other two think doesn't do it, then I think we should call a work session. But I think they'll get it right. I think it's pretty clear.
Okay. I agree. All right, so that's the first item. And then, Brian, you have the second item on the agenda, Elite Inc. Bison One Wind Project.
Thank you, ma'am. Madam Chair, before I forget, Commissioner Crispin, do you authorize anybody to sign the order for you?
Yes, glad you remind me. I authorize Charlene Meggs to sign for me.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Madam Chair. I thought it was timely today to have this discussion about the information that the Commission received from Elite Wind Farm Bison One Wind Project. Just a little background on this one is that this wasn't the first wind farm I voted on, but it was one of the first ones. It was case number PU09151 dealing with Bison Wind Project. And there was a finding in that wind farm that basically that I remember the setting of it. It would have been page 11 of the actual amended order. And the commission at that time put in a finding there that the Minnesota Power shall advise the commission of any extraordinary events that take place at the site of the energy conversion facility, such as tower collapse, extensive turbine failure, injured worker, mortality events of any threatened or endangered species, or any large number of dead birds, bats, in the site within 5 business days of such events. And I remember specifically having the discussion with my colleagues then at that time that being absolutely committed to getting that finding put in there for this wind farm because it was on the tails of the Rugby wind farm where the turbine fell off the front. Basically, there was no provisions in that order telling them to notify the commission when there was any extraordinary events. And so the first heard that we had about that was in the local news. And so we put that finding in there that said basically when we have these kind of extraordinary mechanical events dealing with threatened endangered species, we want to be notified of that. So I think that was good thinking we had at that point putting that finding in the order. But the reason I highlight that is because that is the reason that we received the letter from – let's see my notes here everywhere. We received the letter from David Moeller earlier this summer talking about how Bison One had working out there. Basically, they found a bald eagle within 150 feet of one of their towers, and they notified us being the commission because we put that provision in the order. They notified North Dakota Game and Fish, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and so as you all know better than me, the Fish and Wildlife Service has the enforcement jurisdiction and some of the other things. But they notified us because of the provision in the order. So we have this letter, and what I wanted to do is really to see what the appetite is from my colleagues to do a follow-up with the Fish and Wildlife Service to what has happened as of this investigation, because the letter that we received basically just talked about the situation. you know, it's unclear if they've developed a cause. It, you know, who knows? The eagle could have had a heart attack flying through the wind farm. The eagle could have been struck by a turbine. We don't know that. And so what I wanted to do is follow up to see what has been determined on this from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, who has the jurisdiction enforcement on this thing. And then if there's any lessons learned we can get from this as we deem our discussion in future wind farms. So I applaud the company for letting us know, as they're supposed to. And I do think that it just shows that we were forward-thinking here 6-7 years ago, that we wanted to be aware of these things. So the first here we didn't have was, you know, reporting somewhere else, because it does help us do our job. But I'd reiterate that it's up to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on the if there's any type of other things. And everything is above board. There's nothing that was funny. The company did what they're supposed to do. But I want to do a follow-up with the Fish and Wildlife Service, asking for any additional information that they've received as of this time on this particular incident. So that would be, I guess, the request that I wanted to talk about.
I don't have any issues with it. I mean, we asked for them to report to us, so I guess there should be a reason for why we want to know. And to the extent that it can help us with our sighting moving forward, I think that's helpful. I do not want to get into the position where anybody thinks we are the enforcement agency, because we aren't.
Agreed.
So I'm kind of not clear what we're going to be gaining by following up with that. But if you know, I guess we don't know until we ask. So I don't have any issue with that.
Well, that would be.
It would seem to me too, if we ask for someone to report on, you know, whatever issue you can think of, something extraordinary, that we would thus want to know what the final result was, not just that it happened and then not get the final report. So I think too, we want to follow up on that and find out what U.S. Fish and Wildlife or anyone else concluded of it, or if there's more to the investigation that's still going on.
Well, and that was the intent, Randy, and Julie, you're spot on, that to keep it clear of who does what to whom. We have the sighting responsibility. Fish and Wildlife Service has their responsibilities, but I would like to know what the final outcome of this is, that if it was deemed, in fact, it was a turbine strike, then that's one issue. If it was deemed it was something completely different, that also helps us, so we don't have people trying to mince words. It's just that we know it's out there. We might as well get an update on it.
So it wouldn't seem like there could be too much of an investigation or anything that would still be ongoing. I mean, you would think when you find a body, you could tell whether it was chopped or whether it just died. So,
but it wasn't clear in the report.
They did a full autopsy on the bird. Seriously. They did.
I can give you a little bit of an update on this. The carcass was sent off to Oregon for whatever they call it, for an autopsy. And they found it was a blunt force trauma that killed the bird. There's nothing that proves that it was done by a turbine. The Fish and Wildlife Service, this is what I hear from the company, has asked the company if they want to pursue a take permit, because they can't require them to pursue one. And somehow or other, their take permits can't be good for 30 years like they were talked about before, and they can only be good for 5 years. And they have to do an environmental impact statement, or a complete full-blown EIS, in order to get the take permit renewed. So every 5 years they'd have to do an EIS, and they're not wanting to do that. the Fish and Wildlife Service has a meeting with them in October here sometime or other to see if there's anything further that they can pursue on this matter. At this time, I don't think anybody is expecting that there will be any prosecution for a take. There was no, in Minnesota Power's mind, no wrongdoing on their part, and no, they'd done everything they could on the subject. I'm not expecting a definitive report from Fish and Wildlife Service that kind of like this is a conclusion to this matter type thing. I just don't think there will be any such kind of documents or anything. But I might be wrong, but...
Well, for me, Jerry, this has been very helpful. I mean, you answered a lot of the questions that I had, and so we just didn't have a chance to flush this out. So this, to me, I would almost withdraw my request for an update in a letter. I think Jerry's provided the questions that I had, and then as they notify us what the final outcome might be, but this gives us a lot of background that when someone says, okay, the commission received this letter, you know, what's going on? We know what the service is doing. The fact that they're not pursuing a fine at this time means that, in my mind, that the commission cited that in a way that the Fish and Wildlife Service deemed reasonable. So I may be jumping too many legal steps ahead there, but that's exactly the kind of information I was hoping to receive.
And in this case, nests were discovered in the project area after the permit was issued, and they have been monitoring the nests, and they've got consultants. We have a couple of reports in the docket on work they've done keeping an eye on these nests and monitoring the situation since they discovered them. And they've been working with Fish and Wildlife Service to keep track of these nests once they discovered them. There's been
apparently a lot of information's already been filed. This is the first I've ever heard of this. But... So if all this stuff is filed, I guess I just need to go through it. But I hope we also then will get a synopsis of what happened at this October meeting. I don't know if you said a date, but I think you said it was going to be held in October.
Yeah, they will be filing here now the report on the autopsy that they just got back. And they don't call it autopsy. They call it something else. That, and they did some kind of field work investigation, and there's a report on that that they're going to file as well. I don't know if they'll file anything from the October meeting or not. They'll, if something comes out of it that they need to file, I'm sure they will.
Randy, the only thing that's been filed was that first letter that I'm guessing Char probably sent to you. The rest was Jerry's verbalization. Maybe, Jerry, you can put that in a memo to send to the commissioners, just that you verbalized, so we've got something that encapsulates this, if that's what you're thinking, Randy.
And we do have the initial report when they found the eagle's nests to begin with in their project areas, and then reports from their consultants afterwards on monitoring the nest. Those are in the record.
But those are the kind of lessons learned, what they're monitoring now at those nests that are actually in the project area, that would certainly be lessons that could help us going forward. So,
well, and it also reinforces that the companies working with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is what happens and what has to happen and continue to happen, you know, before, during, and after these projects are constructed. They're the experts, and that's where they get their guidance.
So, Madam Chair,
Pat has one more thing.
Just you know, you mentioned the provision in the certification to order provisions that caused them to report this incident.
Right.
That provision was removed when we started refining the certification. And so I just wanted to confirm that you still want to leave that.
Well, I thought we changed that to a variation. They still have to report us on the birds part of it. That was a encompassing provision. And in our ongoing ones, they should be reporting to us if there's any other things that come out.
Well, what it says now is that they report any extraordinary events. It used to specify that was an extraordinary event, but it doesn't currently specify. So the bird that threatened an endangered species thing is an extraordinary event.
And I think in our discussion we talked about how we, you know, aren't the enforcement agencies on those endangered species issues, and so we didn't really have anything to do with information that was supplied to us on those kinds of issues.
So I don't recall that way, because I want to be notified when there is those kind of things so we can follow up on lessons learned. And that's when I looked at those provisions, I thought it was in there.
It was taken out at the time we were talking about, and the discussion that Commissioner Fedorchuk calls us. Something I remember hearing too.
Well, then I can guess on what a provision might be to roll that wind farm order. So
the question I guess I have is, do you want that back in?
Why don't we take that up at a separate time, Patrick, from my viewpoint. This is kind of a special meeting on some topic. This is another discussion.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Anything else on today's agenda? Doesn't look like it. All right. That concludes our special meeting. Randy, drive safely.
Well.